as you guys know, as everybody listening probably knows, a failure in this department can be catastrophic in nature. You can just Google sterile processing failures and see organizations that have had to completely, you know, shut down their elective surgery programs. They've had state departments of health come in and completely stop their sterile processing department till they got up to standard.
Every day, they slay the dragons of healthcare-acquired infections and dangerous microbial fire breathers. While you may not see them during your next hospital stay, they will be there, ensuring the safest possible surgeries by skillfully wielding their disinfecting weapons of mass microbial destruction. They are sterile processing professionals, and this is Beyond Clean, the central nexus for the people, processes, and products that are pushing the global sterile processing industry forward. Join us every week as we introduce you to the unsung heroes who are fighting dirty around the globe. And now, it's time to go Beyond Clean.
This week on Beyond Clean, we speak with Jeremy Gibson Rourke, clinical surveyor at DNVGL Healthcare. Jeremy's desire to have an impact on national healthcare issues led him to his career with DNVGL. Before joining DNVGL Healthcare, he was a director of a large surgical services division with surgeries in orthopedics, general surgery, gynecological surgery, urology, and cardiothoracic surgery. He has worked in surgical services and orthopedics his entire nursing career, and during his tenure as a surgical services leader, Jeremy worked with to improve processes and efficiencies in surgical services, including sterile processing. He and his team worked in sterile processing to improve instrument turnover efficiencies, reduction of immediate use steam sterilization to below 1%, and increase resource allocation. Today, Jeremy currently works as a team lead and clinical surveyor in hospital accreditation. He is also working with the certification team on hip and knee total joint certification, shoulder and spine certification. He has developed and initiated the first certification program for sterile processing departments in hospitals today, and Jeremy's successful career is supported by a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing, and he is a certified operating room nurse from AORN and a certified surgical services manager from AORN. He serves as a member of the AMI Working Group 40 focused on steam sterilization in the hospital setting. And Mike, this is something that came across our radar. I believe we saw it on LinkedIn. It's something that, quite honestly, if we're being honest with ourselves, it's an idea that we wish we came up with because it's serving a big need in the industry. So raising the profile of sterile processing, being able to issue a certification to put that gold seal of approval and quality management systems in place, this is going to be an exciting topic today and one that I think we're really helping them get the word out, which I think is much needed.
Yeah, you're exactly right. This is an idea that we have talked about before and just have never really been able to get it together in quite this way. And so, you know, DMV has done it and we're excited to, you know, talk about it. And I think the excitement really boils down to that, you know, we've got the organizations who certify the individuals within the department, but we all know that you can take a certified individual and put them in a bad department, and immediately their quality of work will start to go down. There's this overriding principle of culture. Culture changes everything. And so I think it's critically important that we have groups like DNVGL who are looking at the overall structure of the sterile processing department to see, is it conducive? Does it have that culture to encourage high quality care?
Yeah, and I think their approach to accreditation that we'll learn about with Jeremy will also emphasize what you just said. So very interested to hear about the differences between DNVGL and other accreditation organizations and their approach as well.
HealthMark has intelligent solutions for your cleaning verification program, including products to measure water temperature, water quality, cleaning efficacy, and directly test for residual soil left on instruments. Find your tools for cleaning verification at hmark.com. There you will learn about our TOSI and SonoCheck that test the performance of mechanical washers as recommended in sterilization standards guidelines. Other products like CartWash Check test for mechanical efficiency and target temperature. The ProCheck 2 can detect residual protein to a very low level. Go to hmark.com today for all of your cleaning verification testing needs. It's 2023 and there's big news for IST. A closed warning letter, a new product launch, and a 10-year anniversary. OneTray IST has a lot to celebrate this year. OneTray's 2006 cleared 48-hour storage claim was acknowledged by the FDA, and the company is pushing forward, offering the total solution for reprocessing. OneTray maximizes reprocessing time. EasyTrax adds flexibility with instrument organization, and their upcoming product, OneCart, a sealed case cart with a smaller footprint and a perfect option for off-site sterilization, completes the total solution. Experience a year of efficiency with OneTray. For more information on the closure of the warning letter, visit OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. That's OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. Otherwise, you can reach out to the company by calling 937-619-0138 or visit OneTray.com/contact.
You're listening to Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing.
Joining us now is Jeremy Gibson Rourke, clinical surveyor at DNVGL Healthcare. And Jeremy, today we're going to talk to you about something that we're very excited to have heard about, which is the sterile processing certification that's offered by DNVGL. So thank you for coming on the show today and sharing the good work you're doing to promote the industry and specifically most of our listening audience out there that work in sterile processing.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to have a discussion about sterile processing certification and what it means and why we feel it's important for organizations in the healthcare industry.
Well, let's start too by just introducing everyone to DNVGL. And so it's an accreditation organization, but maybe you can go into more detail and really what differentiates you with some of the other accreditation organizations out there.
Okay. DNVGL is actually a Norwegian company. Started back in 1864. It was established originally as a shipping classification company. Currently, it is a multinational organization. It's headquartered in Oslo, Norway. We have about 350 offices worldwide in 100 countries, serve about 100,000 customers. The group that oversees healthcare here in the United States is Business Assurance. It has five sections, including oil and gas, energy, digital solutions. But the focus, of course, with healthcare is based in Milford, Ohio, and part of it in Katy, Texas as well. We have over 500 accredited hospitals and have issued over 5,000 certificates to our customers here in North America.
Excellent. So for those of us who are not familiar with DNVGL, would you explain to us what the survey process is like? Because I think most of our listeners, maybe not most, but a lot of our listeners are used to, you know, the Joint Commission's process, but your process is a little different. Is that correct?
It is. Our process is based off of ISO 9001, their current version 2015. The goal is looking at the quality management system in the hospital and ensuring that, a quality product or quality healthcare is delivered on a consistent basis. We try to take a really collaborative approach with our organizations. We all have the same goal, which is patient safety in mind. So our survey process is a little different. We focus a lot on the physical environment, of course, as well as the clinical, and then the generalist role who looks at ancillary departments throughout the organization.
So can you define QMS for us, for those of us who aren't used to that term?
Yeah, it's a quality management system. So it is a set of standards, ISO 9001 2015, is a set of standards that establishes a quality management system within the hospital. So there are certain requirements in addition to the Medicare COPs that we survey to that ensures that quality management system is in place for hospital organizations.
Excellent. Yeah. And when you mentioned ISO, we've had several guests in the past talk about how ISO can be applied to the healthcare setting, particularly I think we had Ralph Bazile on and Sean Flynn. Actually, I think it's come up at least one other time as well, just trying to understand how to apply that to the healthcare setting. Along that line of thought, you know, what is it about ISO that makes it so perfect for the healthcare system?
Well, you know, it just establishes a number one, starts with top management, buy-in from the leaders of the organization. They're the ones that drive the ISO process and pushes that down to those individuals that are in daily patient care. And it ensures a accountability into the organization. And looks at everything from those services that are provided externally, looks at expectations of the customer, which is the patient, and making sure that those are all very well defined prior to actually engaging in the activity of patient care. So making sure you have the resources necessary, you understand what the expectations of the customer are, you understand the influences of your external providers. You also look at, you know, your interested parties, such as your physicians, your community. It takes all those into account to build the quality management system so that it can be successful.
So we've done a lot of different episodes also on survey preparedness. One was with Jenny Mandarino from Vizient, and another one was with Barbara Harmer. And we talk a lot about the survey process, and one of the topics that always comes up is that experience with the surveyor when they come in. And sometimes the complaints that, you know, I've heard in the industry is, oh, the surveyor came in, but they don't really know anything about sterile processing, or they're asking really weird questions, or we got dinged on a survey. That's a major phrase you hear all the time. We got dinged on a survey because of X, and, you know, I really couldn't find the recommendation for it, or I don't, you know, I need some guidance on how to put in the process improvement for the corrective action. That happens all the time. Can you talk about, you know, and this is kind of leading up to the real reason we brought you onto the show, but can you talk about that survey experience? Because obviously with ISO and quality management systems, the approach may be a little bit different when it comes to survey preparedness and your team members and you being a surveyor yourself going into the sterile processing department, your approach in conducting the survey.
Yeah, so certainly one of the things that I love about DNV is we have a very clear process to establish when we have what we call a nonconformity in an organization. We have to have three factors. We have to have a requirement. Then we have to have a failure to meet that requirement. And then we have to have the evidence to support it. If we don't have one of those three, then we can't have a nonconformity. We might have an opportunity for improvement, but we wouldn't have necessarily a nonconformity unless we have all three of those factors. So let's say I go into an organization and, you know, I don't have a whole lot of behavioral health background, but if I walked into a behavioral health unit, I still have to survey that unit. So I have to look at you know, the requirements. I have to be able to see and identify where a requirement's not being met and then provide the evidence to that. So in sterile processing specifically, I do have quite a bit of experience and background there. So that's very easy for me. For some of our other surveyors who may not have the same background as I do, we do provide a lot of training. I've done a lot of training with our surveyors on, you know, what the expectations are to see. And then, you know, hopefully they're meeting that standard of having the requirement and the evidence to back up where they're seeing the nonconformity. The other piece of that is that, you know, a survey is us being in a facility for a short window of time, and it is a snapshot basically of what we're seeing, so, or of what the organization's actually providing. So you know, that often presents some of its own challenges in that it is a snapshot in time, and there's only so much that we can see. And so, you know, one surveyor may not see it 1 year, but a surveyor may see it the next year. So we do get a lot of questions on that sometimes as well.
That's really interesting, Jeremy. It's really neat to hear that you all have evidence-based facts to back up your findings, if you have findings. And I also like how you put that as well with the nonconformity. It just sounds better. So if we talk about the sterile processing certification that you're providing, can you tell us about that, what the certification is, but also tell us what prompted it and when did y'all go live with that?
Yes, sir. So part of it came when I joined DNVGL about 2 years ago. My background's all in surgical services. I came from an organization where we had some challenges in sterile processing from a resource allocation standpoint, from a just a sheer manpower standpoint. And so I'd had some experience in working through some of those challenges in sterile processing that I thought was unique to that organization. However, once I got into the survey process, I realized that it wasn't just the organization I was with. It was others as well. And looking at organizations across the country, it just became evident that there could be a need, or there was a need, for a system to validate and encourage best practices in the sterile processing department. And so we set out about a year and a half ago on developing standards based on ISO. Again, you're going to hear me probably say that a lot, based on ISO, that could be taken and placed into the sterile processing department in and of itself. So outside of the hospital's overall quality management system, really instituting a quality management system into the sterile processing department specifically.
So, Jeremy, why don't you tell us about the benefits of getting this department certification? We've got the background now, but as people gain interest, and I can tell you, just as we prepared to conduct this interview, I talked to a number of department leaders about this certification, and I can tell you, for the people who are aware of it, and I know it's early, but for the people who are aware of it, there's a lot of excitement building around it.
Yeah, I failed to answer part of your previous question. We launched this program in the end of November, 1st of December of last year. So it hasn't been out there for very long. We've done several surveys so far that I think have been really beneficial to the organizations that we've been in. So that answers that first part of your question. The benefit, you know, really for the organization is that it gives a level of confidence. As you guys know, as everybody listening probably knows, a failure in this department can be catastrophic in nature. You can just Google sterile processing failures and see organizations that have had to completely, you know, shut down their elective surgery programs. They've had State Departments of Health come in and completely, you know, stop their sterile processing departments till they got up to standard. The benefit is that it gives a confidence that the organization is consistently delivering a quality product, or they're consistently delivering what sterile processing is committed to do, and that is to reprocess instruments for reuse on patients. And that consistency, that ability to deliver that on a consistent basis, is the real benefit. You know, this is a non-revenue generating department typically in an organization. So to put a cost benefit analysis in there is somewhat challenging. However, when you look at, you know, the cost of one surgical site infection and what the financial impact that has on an organization, it can pay for itself very, very quickly. If you do that, look at it from that aspect.
Yeah, you're singing my song, Jeremy. Just from the sheer magnitude of the dollars we spend every year on surgical site infections, I was reading an article lately that said 2 to 5% of patients get infections, to the tune of $3.5 to $10 billion annually. And it's just amazing to me that we're not jumping up and down and talking about that on every show in America. But I love how you are taking it and looking at it from a different perspective. So if you think about the certification, can you tell us how they're performed and then how the sterile processing department would maintain it? But also, can you tell us what happens or what are the ramifications if an SPD department gets so many nonconformities that they don't pass? How does that impact the facility?
Certainly. So the process basically is there's an application process to apply for the certification. There are only, you look at the standards that we've written, there are 23 pages worth of standards. And so it's not like it's a catalog of you have to meet X, Y, Z. It's more of an outline. We try to tailor this program so that any organization can put it in place, whether it's a critical access hospital in rural America or a large teaching facility in a metropolitan area. We tried to write them so that they could be applicable across many organizations. So we don't go in and tell you have to do it X, Y, Z. We want the organization to develop processes, evidence-based processes, but processes that best fit the organization. There are only four requirements that you have to meet in order to apply for the certification. And they are, number one, you have to be accredited by an accrediting organization, or if you're not a hospital, because we are doing some of these surveys for non-hospital organizations, you have to be accredited or licensed by a body that DNV has approved. Second, the leadership in the organization has to be, or in the sterile processing department, has to have some sterile processing training, whether that's a registered nurse with some sterile processing training or a certified sterile processing department employee. And they have to do a gap analysis on where they currently are and where their deficiencies are in regards to the standards. To answer the second part of your question, what happens if we go into an organization and they have multiple issues? We have several levels of findings. We are, of course, an accreditation body by CMS, so there are certain things that we have to follow being an accreditation organization. The findings can range from what we call an NC2 or a non-conformity 2, which means it's a minor finding. You have a process in place, but there are areas that those processes may be falling out. We have an NC1, which is a non-conformity 1, a major non-conformity. And that means you just don't have a process in place. And then we have our last one, which is an NC1 condition level. Certainly not to be confused with conditional. There's nothing conditional. It just means we have to go back within 60 days to validate that the corrective action plan's been put in place. Those are typically revolve around where there's a significant patient safety risk or a staff safety risk that we see while we're on site, and we have to go back and validate that that's been corrected.
So just to clarify, if a sterile processing director or manager is out there and hearing this, and they're interested, but their hospital uses a different accreditation organization, are they still qualified then to get your certification for their department?
Oh, most definitely. In fact, I think two of the organizations I've already done the certification program through were not accredited by DNVGL. They were accredited by another accrediting organization. We see that with a lot of our certification programs. Our stroke program, many of our stroke programs are accredited by other organizations.
Oh, that's really great information. So if there are those managers and directors out there, those leaders who are saying, yeah, this is really interesting, I want to pursue this, can you give us some tips on how to successfully prepare your department for that certification?
Yeah, so the great thing about our certification is the standards are free. We do not charge for our standards. You can go to the website, dnvglhealthcare.com, and you do have to fill out some information, some contact information, and we will send you those standards for free. You can look at them, kind of do a gap analysis on where you are as an organization, put some things in place, you know, prior to our arrival. We don't think that finding nonconformities are a bad thing. I certainly don't ever expect to walk into an organization this early on and expect them to meet all of the standards. Nonconformities are not a bad thing. They're a way for us to work together to make the organization better. So, you know, if we go in and we find, you know, 15 nonconformities, that's just 15 opportunities for the organization to make their sterile processing department better. So we don't look at nonconformities as a negative thing. We see them as opportunities, a way to make patient care more consistent and better.
So nobody would say that they got dinged on the survey for the department certification.
Well, that's a hard, you know, that's really hard for people to, I think in the accreditation world, it's really hard for people to not view it as a negative. And that's part of why our survey process is different, is we just see those as opportunity. And we try to stress that. I try to stress that when I'm doing surveys. I'm not saying that, oh my gosh, the sky is falling here. This is just an opportunity that you may not have realized. The benefit of having a third party come in and view it is I have the opportunity to see things all over the country. I have the opportunity to see some organizations that are doing some things really well, and maybe I get that opportunity to pass that on to another organization.
So, Jeremy, I just wanted to clarify that you, DNV, come back to a facility every year as opposed to what we see typically in industry where it could be every 3 years.
Yeah, so we come in every year, and we try to tailor our agendas differently so that we're not doing the same thing every year. A little bit about the certification survey process is it's a single-day survey. Depending on the size of the organization, if it's a large organization with multiple ORs and multiple sterile processing departments, it might be longer than one day. But typically, it's a single-day survey. First-year agenda is really focused on that quality management piece and getting those foundation pieces in place for the organization, a tour of the sterile processing department, walking through their process. And then we tailored the second-year agenda to really be all about observation. So the goal of the, and I haven't done one yet, but the goal of the second year survey is really looking at what the processes are. So it's going to involve a lot of observation in the department from the point of use in the OR all the way through until that instrument's placed into the autoclave at the end of its process. So to really kind of doing almost an instrument tracer rather than a patient tracer, really looking at all the processes that an instrument goes through in the sterile processing department. And then the third year, it's kind of a combination of both, hopefully putting it all together and really evaluating the quality management system as an overall process in the certification.
Yeah, it's almost like your approach is to grow their experience in dealing with quality management systems. And I can only imagine that many of the facilities you go to, they're all at different levels of that. Because I've seen some places that have already implemented Lean, and so they have some quality management systems sort of built in to their infrastructure. And then there are others where the department really doesn't have anything that's built into that other than their standard policies and procedures, but maybe not a process for evaluating those on a regular basis and improving them. So we really, I bet you see it just the same way we do when we go in and do, you know, a consulting assignment, is quite a varying degree of experience with having those processes in place.
Most definitely. And I think that's the benefit of our survey process, is that we're able to tailor it to that. You know, if I go into an organization that's very high level, then I can dive deeper into some of the minutia. If I go into an organization that doesn't have a quality manager, this is their first experience with implementing a quality management system into the sterile processing department, then we can tailor that education piece into the survey process, where, you know, we're providing some education there to the department employees. So we can tailor it to the functioning level of the department.
I can almost see this as being an offering potentially at the vendor side of the table as well. We'll table that for another day, because we have the money question as we close out the interview, which is really what I think all the frontline leaders, managers, supervisors, educators, et cetera, are going to be asking. But how do we make a case to hospital administrators to support our desire and wanting to move forward with an initiative to conduct this sterile processing department certification through DNVGL? How do you make that case to hospital administrators? What's been successful already to date?
You know, I think that the case is going back to what we mentioned earlier, and that is, when you do have a failure in this department, it can be extremely costly to the organization. You know, the fact that one single infection attributed to the department can cost as much as $30,000, which, you know, more than pays for the certification process. It's hard. I'll be the first to admit it's hard to put an exact dollar figure to it, because this is a non-revenue generating department. But I think as we look at where healthcare is going and the focus on quality, the focus on patient outcomes, the case can be made that this is a department that touches so many patients. Every instrument that goes through the sterile processing department has the potential to touch a patient. When you look at those from a large organization, that can be up to, you know, 17,000 instruments a month, or even, you know, a smaller could be in the hundreds, but all of those have the potential to have a negative outcome. And so ensuring that quality piece into this department, you know, is the case that I would make if I was back in a leadership role in the OR, and saying, you know, we want to ensure patient safety. We want to ensure that sterile processing is consistently delivering our commitment to patients. And that is a sterile instrument, a high level disinfected instrument, whatever the case may be, just ensuring that we're consistently delivering that product.
Jeremy, this is really a fantastic thing that you're doing for the industry. As you know, we're very committed to raising the profile of sterile processing beyond the silos, or maybe above their common sort of organizational path through OR or materials management. We really want C-level executives to be more aware of this department. It's, as Mike Matthews likes to say, it's the engine of the ship. And that was a quote we used on a recent episode. But that's really important to us. And I can just see how much it's important to you and your organization, because certifications like this are important to the people who really understand at the high level what you just said. Every instrument can touch a patient. Every instrument not going through a quality, I should say an effective quality management system, has the ability to harm a patient. And so the department's role is critical. And I think you're helping raise the profile for that. And there's more work to be done. And we're a small part and you're a small part. But together, I think we're going to really drive this industry forward. So thank you for coming on and sharing this with us.
Of course. And you make a valid, valid point that, you know, we put in that standard, and that is top management has to be involved. Getting that C-suite involved is paramount to the success of the certification, as well as I think the overall department success. So yeah, the goal definitely is to raise the awareness and knowledge and the importance of this department in hospitals and organizations.
That was Jeremy Gibson Rourke, clinical surveyor at DNVGL Healthcare. And Bob, it was a very interesting take on accreditation, but also this certification is much needed. And I know as we were wrapping up the interview, we talked a lot about getting high level investment. And I want to just reinforce that here in our closing comments about how important it is. And everybody out there should be doing their best to serve the mission of sterile processing by elevating the visibility and the work that's being done. And quite frankly, the fact that it's becoming more complicated and more challenging, and it requires more resources and more technology to do a better job for the patients. Because as Jeremy said, every single one of those instruments has the potential to reach the patient and will have a positive or negative impact if it does.
Yeah, Justin, I'll tell you, he was literally saying everything that I believe so deeply in it. At the end of the interview, that last question where you asked, how do we get administrators involved? All I kept thinking about was a resounding quote that I hear all of the time, and it's from the former U.S. Deputy Attorney General, Paul McNulty. And the quote is, if you think compliance is expensive, try non-compliance. And what I'd like to tell those administrators is, if you think compliance is expensive in sterile processing, try non-compliance. I really wish we could get administrators to focus on that and provide the resources needed to sterile processing departments, because the job that they're providing is, I tell folks every day, they've got a insurmountable impact on the quality of patient care, and it's overlooked all too often.
Yeah, and really being able to evaluate those processes and to be able to make adjustments and look for continuous improvement, I think is really critical. And the other thing, where they come in annually, I like that differentiation, because I feel like if you come in annually, you're really able to limit the drift. You know, and when you talk about drift, you can think about somebody driving the car and then sort of falling asleep at the wheel and going into the other lane and putting themselves in danger. Well, I think having a more regular process for evaluating that drift pulls the car back into the lane more frequently, and thus you're going to have a much more successful and safe drive down the road. So maybe there's too many car analogies in this industry sometimes, but you know, to describe the concept of drift and how quality management systems and evaluating them on a regular basis can really help improve patient safety, I can't think of a better one, at least not off to the top of my head right now. But that's going to do it for this week's show. As a reminder, you can help support us by subscribing to Beyond Clean on iTunes or Stitcher, and now also on Google Play and Spotify. Simply search for Beyond Clean Podcast. We'd certainly appreciate a rating and a review, because your feedback is important to the show. And if you have any topics that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, or if you'd like to share a picture anonymously on our Instagram page, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. On behalf of Hank, Mike, Bob, and myself, thank you for listening to another edition of Beyond Clean.